welcome back to Starcastic Remarks.
That's a good intro, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What just happened?
Yeah, I don't think there's really even much of a breakdown you can really do about that game. It looked like it was a bunch of Minimites teams just going out there, and then like the team that was in the lead just kind of fell asleep, and yeah, I don't know.
Stars win by a final score of...
No, that one's not a question. We know the Stars won.
Okay, Stars win.
Yeah.
With a final score of 7-3.
That's a lot.
7-3.
That's a lot of hockeys.
We have only played one real Dallas Stars game out of those four wins for the playoff series, yeah. And that was Game 5.
Yeah. So our four wins in the series are 5-4, 5-4, 2-1, 7-3.
And for a team not known for their offense, we have scored the second most goals in the first round. And you know
behind,
who scored more?
Behind our opponent.
Yeah. Go freaking figure. Okay, let's just... I guess we'll just look at a couple of stats tonight.
Let's start with goalies.
Sure.
Calgary gives back Game 3. Their goalies sucked. They were bad.
That was like the difference in the game.
Yeah, Hudobin actually plays outstanding for 50 minutes. He plays a perfect 50 minutes. So, unfortunately, in the first 10, there was 3 goals. But he played a great game since then. He finishes with a 927 save percentage. Very respectable. Higher end of his save percentage average for the best in the league. And then the Flames, Talbot, who's taken out in the during the second period and put back in the third period, which I've never seen in my life, unless there was an injury, finishes with a save percentage of 733. And Riddick goes in for less than a period, faces 9 shots, and only makes 6 saves.
Like I said, I still don't know if this is a Stars win or a Flames loss.
I think Calgary's given back Game 3 that they stole from us and given us a Kachuk meme to go along with it.
Oh, man, that meme is going to be everywhere. I tweeted that out.
I saw that on the Twitter. We need to use that throughout the playoffs for every reaction. It's just the Kachuk gif, no matter what. From now on. That's our rally flag now.
Did you see the other GIF that was up on Twitter? I forgot who put it, but it was when Kari Lehtinen was still around, and it was absolutely hilarious because they said, "When is Hudobin going to start doing this?" It was the exact same score against the exact same team several years ago. It was against the Flames, and it was 7-3. What are the chances?
Yep, I don't.
Oh my goodness. I guess that's the difference in the series. I mean, we talked about that, right? That when we did our previews for this series,
yeah,
for
and
all the series.
And in the middle of the series, we were saying it didn't feel like Stars goalies were being better than Flames goalies, and they prove us wrong in the next 3 Stars wins and finish out the series for us.
And the Stars woke up in Game 2 and they never looked back. Except for maybe
the stolen game in Game 3. That was pretty much it. We still were the better team that game.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm starting to think that we actually were the better team in Game 3. And I don't think Talbot was that great.
I think he played mostly well, and I think we were very unlucky.
Yes, I think that was part of it. We had no puck luck. And all those goals that should have gone in Game 3 went in Game 6.
Yeah, every single one.
Every single one.
I think this was the only game in the series where we didn't hit a post, actually. I can't recall a post hit.
I mean,
they all went in.
Yeah, every single one of them went in.
I only saw, like, 2 good missed chances, both of them by the first line, obviously. But
well, actually, that's funny you bring that up. So we were just talking about that. Guess who didn't score points tonight.
Top Sagan, three.
Ben and Radulov. Does that mean this is like the beginning of the end of those three being dominant, and then Denis Gurianov and Hintz?
That's the post that I made on Facebook. I think this game is a perfect highlight for what the Stars' future is for the next, hopefully, like 10 years, if we can keep them on our team. It's going to be the Hintz, Gurianov, and Heiskanen show, and they're going to be the core of this team, same way Ben Sagan and Klingner were. But I think the best teams in the playoffs, the teams that always wind up winning the cup, and everyone agrees that they were the best team that year, are always the teams that have those older guys and they have their new core coming up with them. And they're both there together. And I'm hoping that's what we're witnessing right now, and hoping we can get a little bit more production out of the top three guys going into the next round. But I will say the top three, they had some pretty big plays after the first two games. The goals that they did score, while they were few and far between, they were some pretty big goals. You think about the first goal in game five, the 1-2 win.
Yeah, the Ben.
Like, what do you think?
That was a huge goal.
That goal can change the game. No goal in the first period. It goes into the second period 0-0. We could be looking at a whole different game there. So while they haven't been as productive as we've seen them in the past, they have made a pretty big impact on the series still, I think.
Well, you know what I'm thinking about right now is I'm thinking about the Toronto media, and they're probably welcoming Calgary with open arms, saying, "Welcome to the crap show that is Canada hockey right now." That was...
I'm thinking it's still... I think Calgary's still coming up, right? I don't think they've arrived yet. I think they've got two good players, a solid first line, a decent second line that's pretty much carried by Tkachuk. But there's no depth at all. There's no blue liners. And the goaltending obviously is spotty. But I think within the next few years, as long as their GM has a brain in there, they'll be able to figure out how to get some depth guys in there to help Johnny and Tkachuk.
Well, the thing is that what was the most dominant line in the series for the Calgary Flames?
Bennett.
The third line. Yeah, it was the third line. It was
Bennett,
Dubé, and Milan Lucic. And until game three, Milan Lucic was on the score sheet every night going back to the Winnipeg series. And then I guess they are playing a lot of hockey, by the way. I mean, a lot of hockey very soon. And, I thought this was absolutely hilarious. But so when the Flames were up 3-0, that's when the NHL released the start time for Game 7. thinking there was going to be one game on Saturday.
No, Stars didn't want it.
Don't think so.
it's we'll almost, do without that one, thanks.
It's almost like on the bench during the timeout, Bonus was like,
yeah,
"Hey guys,
maybe what was said during the timeout."
Hey, they just released the time for Game 7. let's just show them and prove them wrong. Gurianov, you got my back. You're gonna score four goals.
Oh my gosh. I've got another downer news in a good game. So Gurianov still has minimal ice time, and he scores four goals. I think he had third least among forwards.
It was, Gurianov, Kiviranta, and Hintz. And Hintz had 13-24, Kiviranta had 13-12, and Gurianov had 13-27. So...
yeah. And he scores four goals.
That's a goal every 3 minutes. That's a goal every 3 minutes, basically.
So pretty much what me and Ryan are saying is he should just play all 60 minutes, and then the Stars will score like 12 goals a game. Yeah, I can't do math that fast.
Let's just clone Heiskanen and Gurianov, and then we'll be good. Yeah, we'll just go with that.
Moneyball.
Okay, well, let's look at some other stats for today. Hero of the series, I think, is Miro Heiskanen.
And
tonight,
Klinger.
And Klinger, even though he wasn't very vocal tonight, or vocal, does that even make sense?
He wasn't on the score sheet.
Right,
wasn't
on the score sheet. But Heiskanen tonight with a goal and three assists. And you know, honestly, if he doesn't score that goal in the first period on the power play, I think this game is a lot different.
I completely agree. I think that goal was huge because if you're going into the locker room 3-0 and you were getting trounced the whole game, that feels especially bad. A 3-goal deficit really sucks, but 2 goals is pretty normal. Like, that's a bad period, but it's not like you're going into the room thinking like, oh, how are we going to come back from this? You go into the room thinking one more goal and it's a hockey game,
mm-hmm.
right? So right. It's much easier mentally, in my opinion, to come back from 2 goals than it is from 3. So I think that's a huge goal. And, of course, Stars just come out dominating the second period. It wasn't even close. It looked like Calgary didn't even belong there. And then third period, actually, Calgary looks pretty good in the first 7 minutes. They're pushing pretty hard. But then as soon as Gorianov scores his fourth, it's over.
Well, it was a good play by Kiviranta too. So
it was a good play. Kiviranta actually played pretty well this game, in my opinion.
I know.
Especially compared to the other game that he played, where he looked very shaky. He looked really good this game. So if Janmark's out for an extended period of time, I think if he
throw
keeps
him on the second
way,
line
we'll
with
good.
Pavelski and Gurianov, you think he can just replace that?
I still want to see Pavelski, Gurianov, and Hintz, which we saw in the beginning of the game, which got me excited. But
it didn't matter.
Yeah, I still want to see those two guys flying up the wing and just Pavelski coming in late man and scoring. But either way, as long as they're scoring 7 goals, I can't really complain. So,
well, honestly, I was getting ready for Game 7. I really was. After that first period, I was like, okay, fine. We'll win Game 7 because there's no way we play this bad. And then the next game in Game 7, we don't pull off the win. But the Stars had other ideas tonight. I don't know what else to say about this other than it. What's the story of the game here? We were talking about this a little bit earlier too in the green room before we started recording. But is this a Flames implosion, or is this actually a Stars like offensive breakout?
Yeah, so I think it's a mixture of both. I think the Flames goalies sucked and they were terrible. all the goals we had were pretty decent. I think I can think of a couple that were pretty bad, but they've got to make one good save at least, and they didn't the whole game. And then the second part is that Dallas came out to take the lead in the second period, and there was no stopping them from Calgary. Calgary's not a good enough team to stop them. And I think the whole story of the series is Dallas's blue line is A-tier to S-tier, and Calgary's blue line is, like, not even an NHL blue line. And that's where the starkest contrast in the series comes from, because if you're a normal hockey fan and you're not, like, staring at stats like me and Ryan are, can you name one defenseman from the Calgary Flames? Not really. they were nowhere in this series. Not on defense, not on offense. I think there was one goal by a defenseman, and it was in game one. I can't remember who exactly it was.
I think it was Rasmussen.
Yeah. But they were non-existent. Our blue liners were far superior, which is what we need, because we have one of the best blue lines in the league. And we just showed that dominance in this whole series, in my opinion. That and our goaltending from game 4 on.
Well, and I think one of the biggest surprises about this game was, and actually I disagreed with, I think it was Tim Collishaw on Twitter. He mentioned something about, I forget the Calgary coach's name, Jeff something.
Decisions? I don't know.
It's not Sissons, it's Jeff something. But anyways, he said that you could tell that he was not a real NHL head coach because Talbot let in 2 softies and then immediately switched to Riddick, who hadn't played a single game in the bubble.
Yeah.
And at first I was just like, no, he's just trying to get some, you know, jumpstart him. Basically, like, take a couple of jumper cables, hook his team up to a battery, and you know, kind of electrify them back in. And then, after Riddick gave up that 3rd goal, I was just like, I went back to that same Twitter post and I was like, okay, I was wrong. I'm sorry. You were correct.
Yeah. It does jumpstart the other team, but not if the other goalie hasn't played and can't play.
Right? Yeah, right, exactly.
So if you're going to put in a cold goalie who you know is not going to do well, there's really no reason to. And, like, I think if we have Ben Bishop as a backup to Hudobin that game, I honestly think after the third goal, Hudobin's taken out. Which, like, is crazy to think about because after that, he plays a great game. But if you give up 3 goals in 7 minutes and there's been like 8 shots, 7 shots, was it? I don't know. That's when you think about changing a goalie, yeah.
Yeah, well, because
so it kind of
go ahead.
Yeah, it kind of plays to our favor that we didn't have Ben Bishop on the bench tonight. So, and we're definitely not going to put Ottinger in unless Hudobin gets hurt, because that's a pretty scary thing for a goaltender who's never played an NHL game to do.
Yeah, poor Ottinger.
Yeah, that would be terrifying. I can't even imagine.
Yeah, I mean, he's your age, I think, right? Maybe a little bit older.
I don't know.
I think he's 22, so maybe 21, something like that. Okay, so we've looked at a couple of the stats for the Stars. I'll just throw this out there as well. Pavelski had a great game too. Goal and two
helpers, and a great
there.
Series. He's the best Stars forward this series. Granov obviously has a great game today. 4 goals, that's nuts. But Pavelski's overall the best Stars forward this series. He always seemed to be the guy jump-starting comebacks and jump-starting the offense, and it always seemed like he had the first good shift after a streak of bad ones. So Pavelski's contract really starting to pay off like we thought it would in the playoffs, which is when we need it most.
Well, and not to mention Corey Perry, too. He had
also
a great
with the helper
too.
Today.
So he hasn't been as noticeable the past couple of games, but he still does the little stuff right. I mean, he's our agitator. He's the one that gets in the other team's face and stuff like that.
As long as he stays out of the box, he's a great player for us.
Yes, so
which he has been.
Actually, you know, that makes me think about something on the Flames side. Is Mark Oh my goodness, Mark Giordano. This guy had penalties left and right this series, it seemed like. And again, he's just taking bad penalties. And you could see, I think it was about 10 minutes left in the third period, you could see his frustration when, I think it was him by himself, just rammed the Stars' goal crease and was trying to pick a fight with Klingberg. But he just had a rough series. And maybe... Is this it for Mark Giordano? And that's funny to say, considering, like, just a couple of years ago he won the Norris Trophy, and now he's very, very quickly on the decline. I hope not for his sake and for the Flames' sake, but I don't. If you're a Flames fan, I don't know where you go from here.
Yeah, I think it's definitely frustrating for their fans and for their best players to be in this position and to kind of squander it. They didn't play a good game since after game one, honestly. Game three, they were carried by their net minding. And
some puck luck from the Stars.
And some puck luck. And their GM has got to find a way to put some blue liners out there or something, or else they might be trying to get out. I mean, Johnny and Tkachuk, they've been in the league for a couple years now. It seems like they're still fresh new faces, but they're climbing up there. They're going to have to find a way to start winning some hockey games, or they're going to get frustrated and get out of that place. Same way with, same from, in my opinion, with McDavid and Draisaitl.
Well, and when you look across the stats for the Flames, I mean, they're just minuses all over the screen.
Well, for this game, yeah.
I mean, you've got Tobias Reeder with a -2. You've got Sean Monahan with -2. You've got Noah Hanifin with -2. You've got Mangiapane with -2.
Yeah, and that just proves that
most
this game...
Most of those guys are in your top six, or in Hanifin's case, your top four for your defensemen. And I'm sorry to Flames fans. I don't know what... I mean, Brad Treliving has got himself a huge job to do at the end of the year, especially after that game. And with that game being the last game of their season, that's all people are going to be talking about from here until December, assuming the next NHL season starts in December. December or January, whatever.
Kind of reminds me of the the Stars game 7 against the Blues when they get blown out, and how that just leaves a bad taste in our mouths for the entire offseason.
And you know what's funny? The thing that was bad about that game is that it showed how lackadaisical our physicality was on that specific team against the Blues. And the Blues just ran us over.
That's exactly what happened that series.
But we are that team now. Physicality-wise, we are that team. We are the what. So we took a page from the Blues book, and we took it, and we found some players to fulfill those roles.
Yeah, and that year we win the Western Conference, right, in the regular season. We're a great hockey team. We're not a great playoff hockey team that year. And I think from that point on, Jim Neal sees that, and he says, all right, I'm building a playoff hockey team now. I don't care where we end up in the regular season. We're going to make a deep run. And I think we all thought that this team was built for a deep run. I didn't know exactly how it was going to work since the weirdness of these playoffs. But this team is built to go deep in the playoffs and to have depth and to find scoring on at least three out of four lines.
Apparently find scoring, even though we thought that they couldn't score goals.
Well, my point is we've got the depth to get the goals, even when our top three aren't playing. So Zach was right when in our series preview when he talked about we're not going to need to rely on the top three guys, where I thought we would have to. Our depth comes in big time, and that's a great sign for a playoff team. And when we face those, especially Colorado, which I'm very scared of, when we face those better teams, I feel like we're going to find some more scoring from the top three, and hopefully we keep the scoring from our depth, and we just keep it rolling.
Well, let me ask you real quick about your thoughts. Now, before we wrap up this series, the last two games in the Colorado-Arizona series was 7-1 each game. Yeah. So Arizona has a lot to talk about, too. Speaking of Taylor Hall, if I was Arizona, I would not re-sign him. But that's for another day. Those two games, was it just Arizona was just that bad? Or did it show that Colorado is just that good and we should be very scared of their offense?
So I think there's definitely... So I'm going to make up a definition now. I think there's definitely a bubble effect that went on with some teams, especially in the entry rounds, and I think it carried over into some of the first rounds. I think the Yotes, as soon as they kind of realize that they're getting demolished and that it's not looking good for their series, they're kind of just feeling bad for themselves and they're kind of ready to go home, is my opinion. That's what it looked like from the team that they put out there. It looked like the Yotes were bad. And I'm actually really excited for this upcoming series because Calgary's offense is good. Don't get me wrong. Obviously. Scoring 7 goals against any NHL team is pretty astonishing. But it's going to be that great offense versus the Stars' great defense, hopefully.
Well, we don't know.
We don't know. Whatever.
This may be an offensive shootout. Maybe the Stars, what we thought was our game, maybe it's not that anymore. Or maybe I think just the COVID effect, and it's just the playoffs, and it's just everything's weird. So
I think it's still our game. I think the Flames' big goals come from inconsistencies in the Stars, right? So honestly, this game, that's true. The first 10 minutes was terrible by us, and pretty much the last 40, we were complete control. And, you know, it feels good to know that the Stars can find ways to win. I think that even starts with the final round robin game. Like, we didn't look great in that game, but we won the game. And that kind of mantra has continued throughout this series too. Like, even if we're not looking great or we're not playing the style of hockey that we want to, we're adapting and we're finding a way to win that hockey game. So I think especially in this COVID Cup, that adaptation.
COVID Cup. I like it.
That adaptation and that ability to win a game any way it comes at you, I think it's going to be super helpful. And I'm hoping we can find our defensive game because I think that's the main reason we were able to sweep.
Need it.
I think that's the main reason we were able to sweep Colorado and in the season series, because we locked down against them and we just put up our one or two goals and we moved ourselves along into the next game. So, but that's for another time. I'm sure we'll have a series preview for round two.
I think that's going to be our next podcast probably.
Yeah, but I'm very excited to talk about that series and to watch it, obviously.
Well, and I'm really curious to see how all of us did with our season previews and who won and who didn't, because there were some series I was very wrong on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not doing good. Just like, oh, man. But, all right, let's wrap up this series and wrap this up. What was the deciding factor for the Stars winning this series? In your mind, if you had to pick, you can't, I mean, there was multiple things, but if you could only pick one thing, what do you think it is?
Blue liners, Heiskanen and Klingberg, they win the series. Highest point getters, had the most puck possession of anybody on the ice. They controlled pretty much games 2 through 6, and they kept it in their hands and they won it, in my opinion.
Our reliance on our top four is going to be huge going forward. And the emergence... Top four defensemen, thank you. And the emergence of Jamie Oleksiak is probably one of the biggest things that allowed us to win this series. I really do believe that. Now, he took some stupid penalties, but he just seemed more confident on the ice.
And he does,
you can see that with the way he goes forward with the rush. I mean, this guy is 6'7", and he's flying faster than Johnny Gaudreau.
Stick handling around the little defenseman and everything.
I know. And now, all right, since you said that, I would have said that too, but I also got to – I'll pick something else. The emergence of Khudobin is absolutely huge, I believe. Yeah, we scored a lot of goals. Yeah, we did that. But without Khudobin – I mean, look at today's game. If you don't have goaltending, you don't win series or games or anything. And Calgary proved that to the entire NHL today, that the Flames don't have goaltending, or at least they're just not consistent.
Yep.
So I really hope Bishop, whatever's going on with Bishop, he gets fixed. Or I'm very
curious. Until then, we're in good hands, though.
Yeah, and I'm not worried about that. And even when Khudobin went in net, I wasn't worried about it because we saw how he played. Now, the last thing that I'll mention about Khudobin is if he takes us deep into the playoffs and stuff like that, how do we keep him?
We don't.
He's going to expect a huge raise.
Which he would deserve.
I think he's at like $2.5 million right now, and that which is decent for a backup money wise, and he's definitely proved it.
Yeah, the only way we keep him, I think even after just this series, the only way we keep him is if he wants to stay. He would have to take a pay cut, and we've heard him say stuff about him. He likes Dallas. He wants to play here. I've heard him say that. I don't remember where or when, but. Ben Bishop is still our number one goalie, so anyone who thinks Khudobin is our number one goalie is wrong. Ben Bishop is still at least a top five goalie pretty much the past 8 years, so he's going to be our number one goalie. We're going to re-sign him. He is going to play for us in net every game.
But we have one of the top goalie tandems.
We have the top backup goaltender in the league.
Really?
Bar none. Oh, yeah.
Well, what about Vegas?
No way.
Robin Lehner and Marc-Andre Fleury?
I think both of them. Khudobin is better than Lehner.
Ooh, those are some big words. We'll talk about that in our season series coming up here in a couple of days. Yeah, I think we'll probably do that Saturday because there shouldn't be any game Saturday now with the Stars winning tonight. So, all right. Well, thank you all for listening in. What a crazy game. I don't know what else to say.
Go Vancouver.
Go Vancouver. Yeah, I'm rooting for Vancouver tomorrow. We'll see how that works out. Thank you guys for listening. This has been Starcastic Remarks. I'm Ryan, along with Chris. We thank y'all for tuning in. You can follow us on Twitter @StarcasticR. We also have a Facebook page, and you can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Stars win with the final score tonight, 7-3 in the absolute craziest game I think I've ever watched as a Stars fan. And we will see you again on Saturday.
Let's go to sleep.
Yes, it's almost 1 in the morning. Nighty night.